For you are faithful and you are true, and there is nothing, nothing besides you. Lord, have mercy upon us. Let your grace abound in this house. As we repent for every word, thought, and deed, we repent, Lord. We repent for receiving ungodly counsel and not rejecting it. We repent. That's why he says that is the first psalm and the first verse. Blessed are those who reject ungodly counsel. I see those who step on mines set by the devil, who are falling off cliffs. He said this is going to be the great falling away for those who reject Psalm 1, verse 1. Psalm 1, verse 1. For they fall from grace. Falling from grace means there's no escape. Lord, have mercy and let your grace abound. Lord, have mercy and give us the strength to say yes as we repent, Lord, for in every area of sin, transgression, and iniquity. Help us to come to the end of ourselves so it's not our will but your will. Lord, have mercy. Wash us with the blood. Fill us with your Spirit tonight that we may be one with you. I ask that you release your word tonight as it's spoken, that by the stripes of Jesus, we're healed, delivered, and freed, established and perfected for your glory. Let the anointing and the power and the glory of your love break every yoke of bondage. Open the eyes of the deceived, the ears of the misled, and the heart of the rebellious. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. And break the yokes. Come, Holy Spirit, in this house. Come, convict. Come, change. Come, melt us and mold us. Come and bring us to the throne room of our Father and prepare us for your return, my King. Show us what you want us to do. Grant us wisdom and knowledge and understanding that we may be about your business in true spirit and in power, and rescue those who are out of position, that Jesus would be glorified in the rescue. In Jesus' name. Turn to John 6. John chapter 6. How many of y'all know we're in the last days? You betcha. You know, we have been, the Lord has been just really bringing us to revelation in the areas of, even about the book of Revelation, you know. And the time sequences and through the feasts and so forth. And we've talked about the Feast of Pentecost was the birth of the church, and the Feast of Trumpets will be the removal of the church. We've talked about the seals and how God seals his people. There's a special seal that God puts upon you. And I'm not going to go in depth about the seal, but I want to share a couple quick things so we get an understanding and get revelation, even according to God's sequences, about the seal. And in John 6, is everybody there in verse 27? I'll go to verse 26. I guess 25. No, 24. No. Can I hear 23? No. Aren't you glad we're not religious? In verse 25, and they... And when they found him at the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. So they were seeking him because he provided food. In verse 27, he says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. Because God the Father has set his seal on him. Why? Because God the Father has set his seal on him. He set his what? Seal on him. In other words, he has set his decree, his approval, his promise, and his mission. See, once God sets his seal on you, it cannot be revoked by any man or devil. Only God. Does everybody understand that? Once his seal is set upon you, it can't be revoked by nobody, but only him. He can remove the seal from you, and only him. Are you hearing? Do you think if somebody breaks covenant, the seal is removed? Yes. So in this area about the seal, it is important because Jesus was sealed by God the Father. Go to Ezekiel 9. Ezekiel chapter 9. Start at verse 1 and read it with me. Ezekiel chapter 9. Now Ezekiel says, then he called out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. And suddenly 6 men came from the children of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in their hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a writer's ink horn on his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub where it had been to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen who had the writer's ink horn at his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. Wow. See, what did he do? He was about to bring judgment somewhere. And he said, I'm sending the angels in with the ink horn next to him. And he would take out the horn, the ink horn, and he would mark those whose heart was broke before God Almighty, who did not walk and agree with the unrighteousness that was going on in the city, and he marked them. Do you understand? And verse 5, read it. And to the others he said in my hearing, go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eyes spare, nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maidens, and little children and women. But do not come near anyone on whom is the mark. And begin at my what? Sanctuary. In other words, judgment begins in the house of God. So they began with the elders who were before the temple. Then he said to them, defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go out. And they went out and killed in the city. So it was that while they were killing them, I was left alone, and I fell on my face and cried out and said, oh, Lord God, will you destroy all the remnant of Israel and pour out your fury on Jerusalem? Then he said to me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of bloodshed, and the city full of perversity. For they say, the Lord has forsaken the land, and the Lord does not see. And as for me also, my eye will neither spare, nor will I have pity, but I will recompense their deeds on their own head. Just then the man clothed with linen, who had the ink horn on his side, reported back and said, I have done as you commanded us. So I want you to see that the seal was with ink. It was protection because of their righteous cry and intercession. It was a temporary seal. Does everybody see this? It was a temporary. It was a prelude of the prophecy of Daniel's 70th week. And I'm not going to get into all of that, but we'll touch a little bit about it tonight. So we see here that there is time when God will temporary seal. Do you remember when the Lord was pulling the Israelites, the Hebrews, out of Egypt, right? Remember? And what did he tell Moses to do? He said, Moses, I want you to kill a lamb at twilight and go put the blood of that lamb on the lintels of the door. And the spirit of death is going to come in. Why was he doing that? Because it was going to be the last judgment, the last plague that was going to release the Jews from the bondage of Egypt, meaning the world. And what did he do? He placed a seal over it so that no damage or harm could come to those who had the seal of the blood. Does everybody understand? But it was temporary, wasn't it? But it was a prelude to those things to come. See, now it was done with ink and in blood, but now it's done by the Spirit. But first the blood must come as the prelude, then the Spirit comes. Are you hearing? Turn to Daniel 9. Now, we've been talking about the area of the seal, and I want to talk a little bit tonight about the sealed prophets that will come also. But I want to explain a couple of things and just overview a little bit so that we're not lost. In Daniel chapter 9, in verse 24, now Daniel has a visitation from Gabriel, and Daniel's crying out, and Gabriel says, listen, I'm going to tell you what's going to be coming. In verse 24, he says, 70 weeks are determined. So there's 70 weeks, which is actually 490 years, is determined. And in this 490 years, he said, for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins. Well, you know that that wasn't going to be right around the corner, was it, at that period of time? Because you couldn't make an end of sins. I mean, this book was, you know, Daniel got this prophecy almost 2,500 years ago. Hello? And the end of sin hasn't come yet. To make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness. So we know that the everlasting righteousness isn't here yet either, is it? To seal up vision and prophecy. So he said, listen, to seal up vision and prophecy. In other words, everything is associated with seal. That means that to seal up the vision and prophecy means it's been decreed by the king and approved by the king. And to anoint the most holy, which is the Lord. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem, so it had to be destroyed, until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, which is actually, we'll get there, it's 483 years total. Okay, because we need to meet the 490 year. So he's saying it's going to be 483 years. He said, and the street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublesome times. So we see that there's two parts here, right here. That says that there will be 7 weeks and then 62 weeks. That's two parts that will be fulfilled. Are you with me? And after the 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself, because he came as a servant. So we see that this had to be fulfilled when Messiah is cut off. In other words, when he died and rose again. Are you hearing? And we'll talk about this more later. And the people of Prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And we know that this prince is a representation of Antichrist. And the end of it shall be with a flood until the end of the war. Desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with them for 1 week, right? Which is 7 years. So we know that before Messiah, from the time of the proclamation of this, that it came to be 483 years. And then after that, Messiah was removed. Jesus rose from the dead. And that there would be one more 7 year or one more week left. But it's got to be a time of tribulation, and that's what the seven-year tribulation, it's known as the 70th week of Daniel. But in the middle, and this is going to start with the seven-year treaty that the Antichrist will sign with Israel. Then he shall confirm a covenant with them for 1 week, but in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering. On the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, and even until the consummation which is determined, I will pour out on the desolate. So we see that was part three then. So you have a 7 week, you have a 62 week, And then you have another 7 week, which is the final week. Are you hearing me? Now are you listening? Praise God. So 490 years are determined, 483 fulfilled. 7 years is left, called tribulation, where all eyes would be on Israel and the Jewish people. Is everybody with me? Okay, good. Now go to Daniel 12. Remember, he said what? Seal the vision and the prophecy. In other words, it's been decreed. So these things have to be associated with a seal. Everything that is sealed is associated with seals. Why? Because it's a decree, it's a proclamation, it's a promise, and it's a mission from God Almighty. See, you weren't sealed just to hang around and do nothing. You weren't sealed just to be a husband and a wife and have children and do nothing. You were sealed on a mission. You're sealed for a mission, whatever it may be. And Daniel 12, verse 1 through 4. Would you read it with me? And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was seen since there was a what? A nation. Now, this is called the Great Tribulation. Michael is going to stand up after 3.5 years of the tribulation starts. This is called Great Tribulation. This is when he will stand up. Even to that time, and at that time your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge will increase. So we see now, not only was the vision and the prophecy sealed, but now the book was sealed because he wrote it. So he sealed the book to the end. In other words, this is a representation of great tribulation. This is the revelation of Christ. That's what the book of Revelation is about. It's the revealing of Christ. God rescued the Israelites from bondage, right? Remember I shared with you about Moses, that temporary seal. The Jews were in bondage for 400 years to Pharaoh, representing the Antichrist. So we see there was a temporary seal, wasn't it? We saw that they sealed with the ink, didn't they? The temporary seal. But we come to now Jesus, who gets sealed by the Holy Spirit, which is permanent. Remember, we just talked about that in the first scripture in John 6. It said that God the Father set his seal upon him. And as he died on the cross and birthed me and you, then his seal was placed upon me and you in Ephesians 1. Would you go there, please? Ephesians chapter 1. So I want you to understand something, that from the time of the birth of the church, there will always be a seal here on the planet until the sealer returns. He will always leave his seal on the side. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Would you read it? It says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Wow. So what were you sealed with? The Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So we're not only sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, we are sealed with a guarantee of inheritance and a guarantee of redemption. That's what the seal is, representation. But also the seal is a decree from the king. You are sealed with the seal of the king. When anything goes out from the king's throne, any decree whatsoever, there's always a seal he has with his ring. That's a seal. It means he's decreed it. And nothing can come against that decree. Nothing. Only, and as a matter of fact, in certain parts, if you remember in Esther, when the decree was gone out from the king to kill the Jews, he couldn't pull it back. But at least he felt bad because he was wrong because he got deceived. So he went and armed the Jews. But he couldn't call back his decree, could he? Go to Revelation 5. Revelation 5. Is everybody there in verse 1? Want to read it with me? And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back sealed with seven seals. And verse 8. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." I'm telling you, there's so much garbage out there, it's ridiculous. There are people saying, yeah, well, you're going to stay in heaven for 1,000 years. No, it says we're going to reign on the earth. I mean, if Jesus is going to return to the earth, we're coming with him, aren't we? Anyways. So we see that Jesus was the only one worthy to open the seals. But I want you to know now, here we go, because remember, the prophecy was sealed in the vision, right? And then the book was sealed. Right? And then Jesus is sealed. Now, we're sealed. And all the events that are going to happen in the Great Tribulation have been sealed. All of these seals, the tribulation is 7 years. The first 3.5 years is associated with the seven letters to the church. The second 3.5 years are associated with the seven seals of the judgment of God. Now, ooh, lovely, lovely. So we know that this is all going to happen in mid-tribulation. Because the seven seals are associated with the wrath of God. That's called Great Tribulation. Now, I want to share with you what the seals represent. Now, first of all, please understand that the seals are a prelude. Only the Lord can break the seals. And what is being explained now as he breaks the seals, every seal is associated with a trumpet and a vial or a bowl. So what you're going, if you were to go in the book of Revelation and read about the seals, these events are not happening yet. The Lord is telling them things that come, okay? And the first seal I'm going to share with you is a representation of the demonic forces that he's going to allow to come to conquer. There'll be a conqueror who's conquering. The second seal will represent the conflict in the whole earth. In other words, peace will be taken away. A realization that something's going on is going to hit people. The third seal, when that's broken, there's going to be much destruction and there's going to be lack of food and water. Things are going to begin to get contaminated. There'll be much lack on the earth. And the fourth seal, there'll be widespread death. The fifth seal will be the cry of the martyrs, those who were slain and in heaven. So we know that this can't happen yet, right? Because they haven't been slain yet. Does everybody understand? So we know that the seals are a prelude of things to come. They're associated with a trumpet and bowls or vials. The sixth seal is cosmic disruptions and disturbances. Events that will be happening in the heavenlies. And with this sixth seal, six meaning man, Israel will be sealed. In other words, 144,000 witnesses will be sealed. The 12 tribes of Israel, 12,000 of each tribe, which we talked about them being sealed already. Remember last week? Is everybody okay? Go to Revelation 7 while we're here. Revelation 7. And go to verses 2 and 3. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea. So we know it hadn't been done yet. And saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. That's 144,000. So we see that none of this has happened yet. But it's going to. Only the Lord can break the seal, which will release a trumpet and a bowl. Nothing happens yet, right? 144,000 are needed to be sealed. Why did they need to be sealed? Because there must be a seal on the earth all the time. They needed to be sealed so that the body of Christ could be removed. Without the sealing of 144,000, the body of Christ would have to stay here. And we already talked about some of this. So that's in mid-tribulation, isn't it? So there's no way that the rapture could come at the end of tribulation, not for the church. It has to come in the mid. Actually, it's in the beginning of great tribulation. The church will be removed. The 144,000 that are sealed now will go to the world globally. And God will move them everywhere. And we talked about that last week, so you can get that tape. Now the seventh seal, there will be silence in heaven. Ooh. The Bible says that there's silence in heaven. Why? Because these seals are associated with the seven trumpets. Okay. This seal is associated. It's a representation. Remember, this is a prelude. There's silence in heaven. Why? Because everybody's in awe. And judgment's about to really hit. So this last seal, there's silence in heaven. And it's associated. And these seals are attached to the trumpet judgments or plagues that are attached to each bowl or plague or vial assigned by each seal. Does everybody get it? So the seventh seal is a representation of the trumpets. In other words, these are things God's going to do. These are things. So these trumpets, which are associated with every seal God breaks will have a trumpet and a bowl or a vial associated with each one. Does everybody understand? Are you okay? And this is all going to be done, and it's going to begin at Great Tribulation, which is 3.5 years long. So there's 7 years in tribulation. The first 3.5 years are a representation of the seven letters going to the churches. The second 3.5 years are a representation of the seven seals going for judgment. So if somebody's trying to argue with something, it doesn't matter. I mean, it don't matter to me whether we go home first, second, or last. I could care less. Because if I'm sealed, I can't get touched. Do you understand that? If I'm sealed, I can't get touched. The only reason why people get touched is because they open the door to the toucher. Can't touch me. Do, 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 do. Okay. Okay. Hallelujah. You touch me, you get hammered. Revelation 11. Let's start at verse 1. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months," which is what? 3.5 years. Does everybody got it? Cool. "And I will give power to my two witnesses." These are the anointed ones. These are the two prophets that are sealed. Now, I want you to understand that the 144,000 are going globally. The two prophets are staying in Israel. That's where they stay. Jerusalem. You know, the fight, there's going to be an enormous fight over Mount Horem. And that's the area where the dome is built. Because, first of all, I don't want to go way into this, but when Israel took back Jerusalem in 1967, they were to take back the dome. Because that's where Abraham and so forth. And so he was going to sacrifice his son and so forth. But this demonized individual named Muhammad thought he had a vision. And many years prior to that, they invaded Jerusalem and they took it. Because he thought that his God, Allah, landed there also. Maybe out of a spaceship or something, I don't know. Parachuted, I don't know. So they took that place, conquered it, and set up the dome. And it was known as Palestine, and the reason why they call it Palestine is because it's known as the god of Jupiter. So they were worshiping the stars and the heavens and so forth. Do you understand? So when Israel conquered, when Israel became a nation in 1948, and they took Jerusalem back in 1967, because of political pressure by the global arena, they allowed the Muslims to still have control of it, which they should have never done. They conquered it, and they turned it back to them. So, you're going to see a huge fight break out in war over that dome. Because Israel will want to build the temple and take back what they allowed the Muslims to put there. Eventually, this is going to happen. Is everybody okay? Let's go back to this. In verse 3, and he says, "I will give what? Power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth, which is the same as 42 months, which is 3.5 years. So you've got 144,000 sealed that are globally, and you've got two sealed prophets in Israel. Are you hearing? Make sure you listen, though. In verse 4, these are the two what? Olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. From what? From their mouth. They won't take a gun and shoot them. And believe me, listen, you're not going to see flame throw out of their mouth, okay? You will see fire come down from heaven and destroy them as they speak. You'll see fire wipe them like fried chicken. They'll be roasted and burnt. Hello? In verse 6, these have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy, and they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. Talk about the power and life in the tongue. Now, you know, you got to understand that he's talking about two individuals that stand before God. They are known as the anointed ones. They are known as the lampstands, and they're also known as the olive tree. Now, it takes olive or oil that must flow to keep a lamp burning, doesn't it? Now, it's actually a representation of Israel and the Jews. And it's also a representation of the law and the spirit that were going to come. Why? Because 144,000 are going to go out and warn everybody all over globally about not receiving the mark of the beast, about God's wrath is coming, and you need to repent before he comes. Even during all of the wrath of God, but before he comes, and don't take the mark. And it's going to be happening also in Israel and in Jerusalem, because all TV stations will be tuned in to the Eternal Broadcasting Company. And you will see that all the world will be tuned into Israel, because all eyes will be on Israel. Israel and the Jews are the sign of God's return. And all eyes will be turned on them. And these two prophets are going to be tormenting so many people they can't stand them. They're only going to be telling people what's going on. They're going to be exposing the Antichrist and the false Messiah, the false prophet. They're going to be exposing him and exposing him. And he's going to try to kill them constantly. But these two guys are going to they're going to do signs and wonders. The same thing that Moses did to release the Jews from Pharaoh. Matthew 17. Why? Because they are the sealed prophets. Matthew 17. Hey man, I call fire down from heaven every day. Destructive fire. I know spirits of assassins of destiny in their foundations. There's sometimes I can see them blow up. You're going to be calling fire down. These two prophets are going to manifest in the natural realm. But the spirit of them is here through the body of Christ. That's why the devil doesn't want people to speak. He wants people to continue to look in the natural realm instead of the spirit realm. You know, today I was in a jail and the Holy Spirit quickened me to teach on demons and where they came from. And so forth. And the emphasis was so much about, you know, it's not anybody else or anything. You're fighting powers of darkness. The only reason people get messed up and in trouble is because they listen to the voice of the stranger and they still think it's their voice. Because they haven't learned how to walk in the Spirit yet. They haven't learned how to tune in and stay in the Spirit. Because if you're walking constantly in the Spirit, you'll discern it. Oh, no, you don't. Can't touch me. Okay. Matthew 17. Is everybody there? In verse 1. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. Where was he transfigured? Before them. Is Jesus God? You shouldn't hesitate on that. Yes, he's God, man. Okay. And he transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. So what two prophets were before the God of all creation? Moses and Elijah. Wow. Now, one of the things that you're going to be hearing is, well, the Bible says that it's been decreed that man must die once. That's why they believe it's Elijah and Enoch, because they're both taken alive. Well, if that were true, then we couldn't be raptured. Hello? See, he's not talking about physical death. He's talking about die to yourself. Are you hearing? When the Bible says, well, it's appointed to man to die once. Yeah, you better die now. Or you'll die twice. Do you understand that? Or else none of us could get raptured. Well, we go, oh, Lord, Lord. No, you got to die. That's not what he's mean. He means you must come to the end of yourself. You must die to you, or none of us will be raptured. Okay, now, we also see that Moses represents the law, and Elijah represents the Spirit. Has everybody got it? Moses represents who? The law, and Elijah represents the Spirit. They stood with the truth. Now listen, they stand with truth, don't they? They stood before the Lord God of all creation right here where everybody was able to see them. And they stand before him at his throne room, and they're known as the anointed ones. Why? Because they are anointed. Now, if you think about it, look at the same things as we go a little bit further. You'll find out that many of the things that Moses did when he was here, they'll be doing in the 3.5 years. You'll find that many things that Elijah did when he was here, they'll be doing in the 3.5 years. Why? Because they are the sealed prophets, and then there's a sealed 144,000. Is everybody okay? Go to Zechariah, chapter 4. Now, he was taken in a vision. And in verse 1 it says, now the angel who talked with me came back and awakened me as a man who is wakened out of his sleep and said to me, what do you see? So I said, I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it, and on the side 7 lamps with 7 pipes to the 7 lamps. 2 olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and one at the left. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. And he answered and he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. So we know he's talking about grace that would come, right? Through what? The Spirit of grace. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these 7 rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. Then I answered and said to him, what are these 2 olive trees at the right of the lampstand and at the left? And I further answered and said to him, what are these 2 olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the 2 gold pipes from which the gold oil drains? The what? Gold oil. See, all of this is in preparation. That's why we are in the oil now. Everything is in preparation. See, because the seal is a representation also of the Holy Spirit and the oil. So once we're gone, the 144 will be sealed, and the 2 prophets will be sealed. Why? Because they're going to be filled with oil. They'll be light. They'll have boldness. And they're the ones that were before the Lord. Is everybody okay? In verse 13, then he answered me and said, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. And he said, these are the 2 anointed ones. Who what? Who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. And who were the 2 anointed ones that stood beside the Lord of the whole earth? Moses and Elijah. One representing the law, and the other representing the Spirit. Remember, the Bible says if you break the least of these laws, you've broken them all, and judgment will come. Then there's the law of the Spirit. And those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. So if you're not led by the Spirit, you're sons of the devil. Hello? Is everybody okay? Praise God. So we see here the tree oil provide oil for the lampstand. In fact, the first, third, and fifth vials of revelation and judgment are what Moses did in the Old Testament, if you read through them. Remember, Elijah called fire down from heaven. He shut up the heavens for 3.5 years. There was no rain. There will be no rain for the last 3.5 years. None. There will be a time when people will want to die and God won't let them because of his wrath and judgment because they did not repent. I'm not going into all of this tonight. Let's go back to Revelation 11. In verse 7. So remember, the seal was a representation of a decree, a mission, approval, favor of God. Now these two prophets, the anointed ones that stood before the Lord. I want to read verse 6 again. And these have power to shut heaven, so that there's no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. That's 3.5 years. There's going to be no rain. The waters will be contaminated and polluted. There'll be no more food. There'll be very limited. There'll be a point, again, I'll share with you that there'll be a point when they want to die and God will not allow them. But remember that the prophets and the 144,000 witnesses are all over and they're speaking about, don't take the mark. They're constantly exposing the false prophet, the false Messiah, the Antichrist, during the whole time because they're trying to, and the Antichrist is trying to kill them. In verse 7, it says, when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them, only because God's going to allow it. Why? Because they finished their testimony. They finished their mission. This is the end. It's over with. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, which also our Lord was crucified. And that was the spiritual state that Jerusalem was in. The spiritual state. Sodom was deceived, weren't they? Perversity and so forth. They denied the Lord. And the Sodom, it's meaning about denying the Lord. And Egypt means bondage. They had been taken because they denied the Lord. They've taken the mark of the beast and now they've come into bondage. Okay, let's go further. Verse 9. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies on the eternal broadcasting system. 3.5 days. And not allow their dead bodies to be put in the graves. They're going to, see, because this is where the Antichrist is going to say, see, I told you so. I told you we'd kill them, we won. Yeah. Yeah, for 3.5 days, they're going to party. The whole world is going to praise Satan. Many will begin to take the mark in these 3.5 days. The warning has been over. These 3.5 days, many who were waiting for the Lord are going to say, oh, well, you didn't come. And they will receive the mark of the Antichrist. He will offer them food. He will offer them all kinds of things. And many people will take it and receive the mark. And they weren't put in graves. Why? Because he wanted the mock. 3.5 days will be out, laid out in Jerusalem. And then those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them. Make merry and send gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. They're going to be rejoicing. Yeah, man, we won. We served the real Messiah. Verse 11. Now after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet. This will be the second rapture that the world will see. And the great fear fell on all those who saw them. Oh my God, we were wrong. Anybody got an eraser? I can erase this 666. Oh, too late, man. You were a dumb virgin. And they heard a loud voice. They heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. Come on home. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. And in the same hour, there was a great earthquake. And a tenth of the city fell in the earthquake. 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. Those who didn't take the mark. The second death is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Now, I truly believe this, and I'm telling you my belief. I believe that the 144,000 will be removed also. But you just won't see it. They'll be removed all over the world. The 144,000, you'll see them. I believe that when the two prophets are raised, because they were the seal, that the 144,000 will go with them. Why? Because the sealer is coming. Remember, there always has to be a seal here. Go to Malachi 4. And that's known as the Day of Atonement. He will come on the Day of Atonement, fulfilling the Feast of Atonement. And that's when he goes into Armageddon and kicks butt. Malachi chapter 4. Would you read it? For behold, a day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And a day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. You shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. He shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Now listen, this is very powerful here. I want you to see what two prophets he talks about. Remember the law of who? Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I send you who? Elijah the prophet. Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. So he speaks about Moses and the law and Elijah. And I really believe that these are going to be the two prophets that have been sealed in Israel and Jerusalem. And I'll close at Revelation 19. Remember, there always has the remnant from the time of Jesus is always sealed. So once all the seals have left the earth, that means the sealer's coming. In Revelation 19, in verse 11, would you read it with me? Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven clothed with fine linen. Who's this? Us. Us. Why? Because we were already raptured. This is the end of the 3.5 years. This is when he's coming to fulfill the day of the Feast of Atonement. And we're coming with him. Yes. Can't touch him. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come, gather together for the supper of the great God. What was he saying? Come on. I got a place for you to eat. Fill yourself up. That you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. He said, come on and eat. And I saw the beasts, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on a horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. That's the Day of Atonement. And we will return. And that moment that we return, we will stay here. Now listen. We will have glorified bodies because this will really not be our home. We will going back. We'll be going back to and fro because our real home will be in heaven, the real Jerusalem. And we'll be here for 1,000 years going back and forth. And after 1,000 years, the earth will burn and all the heavens and everything, and the real Jerusalem will come down. And we'll go where no man has gone before. Hallelujah. Praise God. Is everybody okay? That's about the seal. We're going to talk more about atonement and so forth, but I just want you to get an understanding, because right now there's so much controversy, and I'm not trying to prove anything to anyone, but there's so much controversy about when, where, who, what, how. Well, is the church going to go here? Is the church going to go there? The church going to stay? The church? Forget it, man. If they understand the seal, they're going to understand the way of the Lord. Remember, he wants us to know his ways. That's the whole thing, isn't it? He wants, remember, he wants us to stay filled with, he wants us to be the wise virgins by staying filled with his spirit. The prideful, he rejects. The humble, he gives grace. Staying filled with his spirit so that your lamp shines. Your light shines. Man, it's no time for games. It's no time to play religion. It's the time to stay filled because you'll either learn or burn. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll constantly reveal to us those areas, especially those landmines of the devil. Show us, Lord. Visit us in dreams and visions. Guide us in the path of your righteousness. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the hands of the evil one, destroying our enemies, snaring them in their own nets while we escape safely as we walk upright with you. But Lord, continue to show us our garbage, that we may let go, let you, and stay filled with your spirit. And that you would be glorified in our life, because it's your life, not ours anymore. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah!